your.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
at
88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Day by day. Well, now, if you really want it, listen to me, brother. Get down on your knees and pray. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He's just there waiting to hear from you. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
That if you really want deliverance,
you say you need it.
You need it. Don't you know you can have it today? Now you say you have a little.
Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it. You can have it today. Have deliverance
right now.
If you're sick,
you can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have deliverance.
If you've got to have it.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
You can have,
you can have deliverance.
I am excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and will also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Standing on the rock today.
Rocking, rocking,
standing on the
rock.
enduring throughout eternity.
We now conclude our message from a couple of weeks ago. Jesus was compelled to go to Samaria by a need to meet a woman at a place where Jacob gave to his favorite son. The pregnant phrase to underline in the incident at Sychar's well, which is so rich in spiritual instruction, is the announcement John gives at the beginning of the chapter, namely, he must needs go through Samaria. Why the necessity? While this was the shortest and most usual road for a traveler going from Galilee to Jerusalem, the Pharisees avoided this customary route and took a longer roundabout one through Perea. They did this in order to avoid any contact with the Samaritans, with whom, as Jews, they had no dealings. While the Jews and the Samaritans were physically alike in many ways, requiring the same food, following the same occupations, having the same hopes and ambitions and suffering the same diseases. Yet, there was a racial hatred that kept them apart. The origin of this hostility between these two peoples may be traced back to the Assyrian colonization of the land of Israel. From this followed the antagonism of the Samaritans to the Jews at the return from captivity, which led to the erection of rival temples on Mount Gerizim. This was in the mind of the woman at the well when she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." From that time, the spirit of religious bitterness lingered, and this accounts for the Jewish reproach. He who eats the bread of a Samaritan is as he who eats swine's flesh. No Samaritan shall be made a proselyte to a Jew. They have no share in the resurrection of the dead. I want you to know that while the Jews had a problem with the Samaritans, Jesus did not. As the omniscient Lord, he knew all about the woman in Samaria and went there to show and teach that he was above all religious and racial prejudices, and that true worship consisted of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Jesus must needs come here to offer this non-Jewish Samaritan woman salvation. Until now, the only offering that people were given was the offering of repentance. Salvation is the substance of living water, and she showed an intriguing interest. However, there were some matters that she had to straighten out before she could ever have the living water. There was the matter of sin in her life, her worship, her understanding of the Messiah and who he was and whose he is and of his mission, and her laboring for God. You see, some people think that you can come to God as you are and stay as you are. Jesus began to discuss these subjects with her one by one. It is clear that Christ chose a woman of doubtful reputation from a semi-alien and accursed race to have received some of his greatest teaching. You see, this woman was a jewel in the junkyard. She was not so holy and righteous that her sanctimonious nature was salvation unto herself. Like us, she had a little dirt on her. But salvation is not about how holy you are. It's about how powerful we are when we have been recycled by the purification factory of Jesus. He takes what is dirty and cleans it up. As she received the gospel, there was no less an ear than John at hand to record the marvel that people have when Jesus cleans us up. This is a marvel to many of the mysteries of his life. Why, it is sometimes asked, did he proclaim his sublimest thoughts in the schools or temple courts to people who were considered to be trash? Why did he take time with Nicodemus in the middle of the night? And why this Samaritan woman? The simple fact before us is full justification, and salvation comes to the most vile of sinners, who become willing to accept and believe that on Jesus we can all be saved. Thus, necessity brought Jesus to the place where the Samaritan woman lived, and reaching Jacob's well, being wearied because of the long noontide journey, he sat by the well while his disciples went into the city to buy food. The reality of our Lord's fatigue testifies to the reality of his humanity. As the man, he was weary and required food and drink. But as the God, he could tell the woman who met him at the well about her guilty past and her soul's deepest needs. Jesus was often weary in his work, but never weary of it. As man, he knows all about our human and spiritual needs. And as God, he can meet every one of our needs. So about noon that day, Christ, a Jew, and the God-man met a Samaritan who was a woman whose life was to be transformed as a result of this meeting. This woman had an individuality. Twice over, this nameless female is referred to as a woman of Samaria. Prominent in this phrase is her religious and national position. She was not only an alien as far as the Jews were concerned, but as also poor because women of affluence did not draw water in those times. What kind of woman, morally, was this woman water carrier? She had no money to get her nails done or to get a manicure. She was at Walmart, not Saks Fifth Avenue, to draw water. The Samaritan woman differs from many of the other women who came to Christ in his itinerant work. Some of them pressed into the kingdom with their earnest prayers. We think of Anna, who spent her nights and days in fasting and prayers. Of the sinful woman of Cana, who washed his feet with her tears. Of the widow of Nain, who moved his heart by her silent weeping in her great loss. But for the woman before us, no petition was granted. No miracle was wrought except her spiritual transformation. Yet she was a privileged woman in that Christ confessed to her that he was indeed the Messiah, which he did not usually confess, even to his disciples, leaving them to discern for themselves the truth of his Godhead from his mighty works and miracles of mercy. Thus, this woman was an individual of prominence in that she was among the number who never sought him. This woman did not seek Jesus. Jesus sought to meet her. Further, he did not usually offer his gifts unmasked, but waited until they were sought or demanded. But here, he offered the woman the unspeakable gift of himself. First of all, he asked relief of the woman. Then he offered her relief, not common water to satisfy her thirst, but himself, the well of everlasting life. What the Samaritan woman was so ignorant of was the fact that she had been coming daily to a deep well of water that had been God's gift of refreshment to man and beast since Jacob's time. Yet there was a deeper well of spiritual truth so necessary for man's hidden needs, of which she was unconscious. She was a traveler in the journey of life, travel stained by her sins, but had not discovered as yet the fountain opened up for uncleanness. Instead of Christ begging her for a refreshing drink of water, she should have been beseeching him for unfailing supply of spiritual water from the eternal well. From her ungracious manner and slur at Christ's people, she answered his comment in a tone of respect. There was something about his voice and manner that gripped her heart. And while she did not understand his message, she was conscious of its latent force and power and felt that this traveler was no ordinary man. He seemed to speak with authority and so passes in her address to him from thou being a Jew, the last word uttered in the tone of contempt to reverential sir. Having had five husbands, she was not easily outclassed in conversation and wanted to know where was the better well than Jacob's well, from which this living water could be secured. And her ignorance begins to vanish as she asks him, art thou greater than Jacob, our ancestor? It was here, at this unsuspecting place, that an unsuspecting woman would meet an unsuspecting request. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus upon the web. Jesus was weary with travel in the heat of the day, for it was about the sixth hour, 1 o'clock in the day. It was the middle of the day in the heat of the day. She immediately noticed how poor he was. He traveled on foot. She noticed his true humanity, that he was a man and that he had full capability to draw water from the well himself. It was divine providence that brings together the Savior and the sinner at the meeting place of destiny. The woman comes to draw water. Jesus sits in a weary traveler by the well, seeking relief of his thirst. Jesus chose a special place, a place belonging to a special son of Jacob, to sit on the well. It was here that Jesus requested of this woman to give him a drink. Now, Christ did not go into the city to eat, but sent his disciples to fetch his meat, because he had a good work to do at that well, which might be done while they were catering to their own needs. Now, this gave Christ an opportunity of discoursing with this woman about spiritual concerns, and he improved it. He often preached to multitudes that crowded after him for instruction. Yet here, he condescends to teach a single person, a woman, a poor woman, a stranger, a Samaritan, to teach his ministers to do likewise, as those that know what a glorious achievement it is to help and to save, though but one soul from death. I conclude this message with the question, how does Jesus get you to your well? So what can you find when you're looking for salvation? My tire had a staple in it. Of all times for this to happen, a flat tire. But when is a good time for a flat tire? Certainly not when you are wearing a suit and you have been traveling for nearly 5 hours. And adding to this bleak picture, nightfall is quickly approaching. Wait, did I mention that I was on a country road? Okay, now you have the picture. There was only one thing to do. Call AAA. Yeah, right. The cell phone I bought for security and protection in moments like this isn't in range to call anyone. No service, it says. No kidding. I sat for a few minutes moaning and complaining. It's a mail thing. Then I began emptying my trunk so that I could get at the tire and tools needed to get the job done. I carry a large plastic container filled with what I call just-in-case stuff when I'm training or speaking. I love to have props with me. I hate leaving anything home, so I bring everything just in case. Cars buzz at me. A few beep sarcastically. I hear the horn saying, ha-ha. I say, you'll get yours. Darkness begins to settle in. It's becoming a bit difficult to see. The tire is on the passenger side. Thank God, away from all the traffic, but making it difficult to benefit from the headlights of passing cars. Suddenly, a car pulls off the road behind me. In the blinding light, I see a male figure approaching me. Hey, do you need any help? Well, it certainly isn't easy doing this. A white dress shirt on and suit on, I said, and then he steps into the light. I literally was frightened. This young guy was dressed in black. Nearly everything imaginable was pierced and tattooed. His hair was cropped and poorly cut. He had leather bracelets with spikes on each wrist. How about I give you a hand, he said. Well, I don't know. I think I can. Well, come on now. It will only take a few minutes. He took right over. While watching him, I happened to look back at his car and noticed for the first time someone sitting in the passenger seat. That concerned me. I suddenly felt outnumbered. Thoughts of carjacking and robberies flashed through my mind. I really just wanted to get this over and survive it. Then, without warning, it began to pour. The night sky had hidden the approaching clouds. It hit like a waterfall and made it impossible to finish the tire change. Look, my friend, just stop what you're doing. I appreciate all your help. You better get going. I'll finish after the rain stops, I said. Let me help you. Put your stuff back in the trunk. It will get ruined, he insisted. Then get in my car. We'll wait with you. No, really, I'll take care of everything, I said. You can't get in your car with the jack up like that. It will fall. Come on, get in, he said as he grabbed my arm and pulled me toward the car. Lightning and thunder roared like a freight train. I literally jumped in his car. God, protect me. I'm here with this man with all of these piercings. Wet and tired, I settled back into the back seat. Suddenly, a frail voice came from the front seat of the car. Are you all right, she said, as she turned around to face me. Yes, I am, I replied with much relief, seeing the old woman there. It must be his mother. My name is Beatrice, and this is my neighbor, Joey. He insisted on stopping when he saw you struggling with the tire. I'm grateful for his help, I said. Me too, she said with a laugh. Joey takes me to visit my husband. We had to place him in a nursing home, and it's about 30 minutes away from where I live. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a date. She laughed and shook her head. We're the remake of The Odd Couple. Joey, the junkie, and me, just a little old lady. Oh, today, my Christian friends, salvation comes from strange places. Salvation comes from situations that you are not prepared. Salvation comes in places that you don't know anything about. But one thing is true. When you learn how to trust Jesus, when you learn to believe in Jesus, it does not matter about the cover. When you put yourself in Jesus' hands, he can and will save. Amen.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, Zoom number 504-535-3921. There is no ID number. Come and pray with us each day. Good day. God bless you.
Deliverance. Right now. If you're sick, you can have deliverance.